This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 40 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And only for the month of January, earn up to $550 extra when you sell with The RealReal. That's right, up to $550 extra. Go to TheRealReal.com to get started. Earn up to $550 extra this month at TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
The next step in the internet is here, or at least it's going to be soon. Things like blockchain, NFT, Web 3.0, what are these terms? Do we need to know them? Yeah, I think we do. Let's learn more about new web technologies. Thanks for listening and subscribing to Learning More. It's Russ with you on season 2 of Learning More. It's hard to believe that we're already midway through or so season 2. It's fantastic. I thank you for listening. I love doing this show and I love learning more. And I love that other people are interested in the show. The listenership keeps going up each week. And I love that I'm helping all of us learn a little bit more about these various technologies and things that we talk about on the show. This week, as I mentioned, we're talking about something a little different here. And this was actually inspired by something I saw on YouTube. I saw an episode of the Today Show from way back in the early stages of the internet. And they were talking about the at sign, for example. And they didn't understand what that meant. That one of them thought it was about, not, you know, at. They didn't quite get the internet. And it's pretty funny to listen back and watch that episode now. Now, I don't know when you're listening to this episode, but in 10, 20 years, well, it could be kind of entertaining that we didn't really understand what some of these terms meant. We're talking things like non-fungible tokens, right? We're talking about blockchain. We're talking about these various coins that are out there, you know, bitcoins. What is all of this? And what does it all mean to our everyday life? And at what point will it become a part of our everyday life? Today, I am talking with Kittencoin founder Dan Whitlock. Dan, thank you so much for joining me today and helping us learn more about these emerging web technologies.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me, Russ. I'm really, really excited to be here, talk about all the exciting new web stuff that's coming out and kind of what the future is going to bring.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the thing. I mean, I mentioned the Today Show from whatever the 90s, and it was so funny to watch that. And now we've got these new emerging technologies that will likely become a part of our everyday life. So it's fantastic to talk to you about this and to learn more about this topic. And one of the things that I really like about the company that you founded is the educational aspect of it. Can you tell us a little about Kittencoin?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we are a blockchain token on the Algorand blockchain, which is one of the blockchains. So you think Bitcoin, Algorand is like another type of cryptocurrency, blockchain, essentially. And so what we do is we provide K-12 blockchain solutions. So we're developing K-12 blockchain solutions for schools to help with many different things, right? Behavior management, curriculum, just teaching about blockchain, NFTs, teaching teachers how to teach about blockchain and NFTs, professional developments, and administrative solutions. So like secure documents, any files and that type of stuff that schools, those are major pain points for schools and education. So our goal is really to fix those pain points and to address those pain points using blockchain solutions.
Okay. That is awesome. It sounds great. Of course,
yeah,
I know what blockchain is. So I want to first start there. Let's explain that to the listeners. What is blockchain?
So most people's knowledge of blockchain comes from Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin was the first cryptocurrency made on a blockchain. Everybody's heard of Bitcoin and everybody is now investing in it, right? Yeah, we have big banks going in and investing. JP Morgan Chase has a fund now that they can buy Bitcoin. I went onto my PayPal app earlier and I was able to buy Bitcoin from straight off my PayPal app.
Oh, wow. That's new.
So what blockchain is it's a type of shared database. And it's shared among nodes in a computer. And it's what we call decentralized, right? Nobody is in charge of the blockchain. Nobody owns the whole thing. Like you think of money, like your fiat currency. The government owns all your fiat currency. Your money that you have in your wallet is property of the US government. When you're on a blockchain, all of that's decentralized. So a blockchain stores information, electronic information, in a digital format, and it allows you to make like a one-of-one copy of a digital asset, essentially. Right. And so the reason we see like the value of Bitcoin going up so much is that there is a capped amount of Bitcoin that it can exist ever.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the price is really determined by just the supply and demand. There's a finite supply of Bitcoin on the market. And the more people that buy Bitcoin or want to put money into Bitcoin, that makes the price rise. And it's just basic economics there.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing is blockchain is different than a typical database because the data is structured differently. It collects information together in groups known as blocks that hold a set of information. And then the blocks have storage capacities when filled and they're linked to former blocks. So this is all super confusing and you get really in the weeds. And every time I talk to somebody about the blockchain, you get the same glazed over look, right?
Yeah.
So what I think the important things for the layperson to know about blockchain is it is they're capped systems, right? Like with, like I said, with Bitcoin, there's a finite amount of Bitcoin that can be created ever, can be mined. And so the demand for that is what's causing the price to rise. So when I think of Bitcoin, because that's the easiest blockchain example, I think of like gold, right? Gold is an asset that sure, you can wear it as jewelry. It doesn't really have much value in terms of other than just a store of value. And so Bitcoin is kind of that blockchain gold, essentially.
Okay. So thinking about this in like terms of banking, right? Because I mean, that's where we can all understand, right? Okay. So thinking about a ledger at a bank. So if I've got money over at Wells Fargo and I transfer money to somebody else over at Bank of America, it goes from the ledger that has my information on it at Wells Fargo to the ledger that has information on it over at Bank of America with blockchain. And thinking about the ledger system, like where is that ledger when we are talking about blockchain?
That ledger is on those internet nodes is what they're called,
okay,
right? And so those nodes are linked all over the internet to all different computers. And so nobody really owns those ledgers, right? The ledgers are decentralized. So when, like you're saying with your bank example, the bank owns your ledgers, the bank has your money, the bank does the sending, right? In this, in the blockchain world, in the decentralized finance world, the bank's completely removed from that. And so you are the owner of your blockchain, you're the owner of your ledger, and it's on a decentralized node. So there's no bank that's marking it off. Everybody can see what happens. So like when I buy or send my cryptocurrency, anybody can look at my wallet address and they can see who I sent it to, what wallet address I sent it to, right? It's all anonymous. Mm-hmm. But that piece of it is not controlled by the banks anymore.
Gotcha.
It's controlled by the individuals.
Okay. And this decentralization of data is also how people are thinking about Web 3.0, where the information is not stored on single servers. It's stored on decentralized servers so that big companies don't have control, but individuals do. Can you talk to us a little about Web 3.0?
Yeah. So Web 3 is a little hazy right now, right? There's a lot of different definitions going on about Web 3 and what Web 3 is and what Web 3 is going to be. The overall idea of Web 3 right now is it's blockchain based web, right? Blockchain based web economies. So the idea and kind of how I see it, my view of it is, remember when we had MySpace and Facebook, right? That was when those all started to blow up in the mid 2000s. That was like your Web 2. Everybody is starting to get on social media, interact online, be social online. We see purchases start to move over to online, and it's a giant, big online ecosystem. It allows businesses like Amazon to exist and thrive and be huge. What Web 3 is it's kind of taking a step back, but a step forward. So Web 3, the way I see it, is communities coming together online in a decentralized way. So they're not, these people aren't using Facebook anymore. They're not using these centralized social media platforms. They're using things like Discord servers, like chat rooms almost. And so the communities are building their own social networks outside of the traditional social network systems. And then within those communities, an economy can exist now because they can have their own currency in that community. They can create their own digital assets in that community. They can spend those digital assets in that community, and it continues to grow. So like we look at the economies historically, the communities that thrive are the ones that buy and sell goods within their own economies, right? And so what Web3 is taking that idea of keeping money in your own community, in your own economy, and it's letting you do that on a worldwide scale, right? Now I can have a community with people from all over the world, not just in my neighborhood physically, and we can buy and sell and create our own basically economy outside of the normal system, right? Right. And as that community grows and continues to shop and buy within itself using the coins that you make as a company, then you're isolating community, you're creating value of that community, you're creating value of the coin, and the people who are participating are benefiting because they're holding the tokens. The more people that are using the tokens, the more value the tokens have, essentially, right? And so as the community grows, the value of the Web3 business grows, and the value of the tokens grow, essentially.
So one of the issues that I've heard a lot about Web3 and this whole decentralization of it is, well, who's running it? And when people say that to me, I say, okay, well, who's running the internet now? You know, like, do we really know? I know AWS has a bunch of servers, right? I mean, I know that there's a ton of service out there or servers out there with these big companies, but do we really know who's really running the internet now? I mean, does it really change? I'm sorry, go ahead.
What's cool about that? Yeah, your question. I love that question because when you think about who's running it, a lot of it is these little tiny communities that are popping up. We're still so early in Web3 that there is a lot of freedom and creativity for the businesses that are starting, because really nobody knows how to create a Web3 business.
Right.
Nobody knows what's going to take off. Nobody knows where it's all going, really. Like, we have some inklings, we have some ideas, and it's kind of like the dot-com bubble, right? Where all these companies are like, how are we going to use the internet to make money? And then they start taking on tons of investment and tons of investors, and nobody really knows what's happening or what's going to happen. So investors start throwing money at every little project because they're just looking for that one unicorn. And so what I'm seeing in like the Web3 environment is kind of the same thing happening. Investors are realizing now that this is going to be something.
Yeah. Investors going in to the internet, and they're not quite sure how they're going to make money, but they're going to put money into it. This sounds a little familiar. Webvan, I'm thinking of you. Yeah. Let's take a short break here. We'll continue. I want to pick up right there and talk about investments in Web3. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you enjoy history, maybe you're just feeling a little nostalgic, or you wonder who's having a birthday today, or maybe you need a reason to celebrate. Well, we've got the perfect podcast for you. It is called This Is Today. And each and every day, we talk about the historic events, celebrity birthdays. We also talk about whatever is going on today. There's always something to celebrate when you listen to This Is Today. And at just 10 minutes each day, you can make it a daily habit. You can even add it to your Alexa Flash briefing. Click the link in the description or just search in your favorite podcast app for This Is Today. Thanks for listening to Learning More. Today, we are learning more about some of these emerging web technologies like NFT, Web3, blockchain. We were talking about Web3 before we went into the break, and I want to touch on the financing of this because we were witness to the web vans and the pets.com and all the craziness that happened with the boom and bust of, I guess we would say that was Web 2.0 in the early days there. We saw all that. Is that cycle going to continue? Is that going to happen again with Web 3, or did we learn a lesson?
Russ, I think that is the exact path that it's going to take, right? So big chunk of the population who's excited because they see what's going on. They see the changes happening in the economies and they want to get on board, but they don't really understand what's happening. So you get a lot of hype. And then you get the whole people that hate it now, right? So like cell phones, everybody who had a cell phone or nobody wanted a cell phone, right?
Right.
It's like, I'm not going to carry around a phone. That's stupid. or email. Nobody's going to do email. Nobody's going to send emails. It's stupid. So you get that whole contrarian view that society has. So you get an initial rush of excitement. Then you see, oh, wait, nobody can really figure out where this is going. And so then people lose their excitement. That's where you see those big crashes, right? Because during the excitement, they're taking on tons of investments. Now we kind of lose interest, everything crashes, and then you see society adopt it, right? Mm-hmm. Then we start to figure out real utility and everybody starts to adopt. And now we all have cell phones. We all send emails every day. And so I'm sure we're going to see a similar cycle happen here because there is a lot of hype. Like you think about NFTs and like the NFT artists who are selling art for like $69 million at auction. So people hear that. And they hear NFTs and they hear $69 million and they hear art and that's all they hear.
Yep.
And that's their knowledge of NFTs. And then they're like, they go in and they go, I got to get every NFT I can because some of them are worth $69 million.
Right.
Without a real understanding of what's going on and what brings value to an NFT.
I am so glad that you brought up NFTs because you did my segue for me. That is the next thing I want to talk about. Non-fungible tokens. What a name. Can we talk a little about that? Tell us what this is, because I'm getting offers to get free NFTs.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's the same essentially idea as like a blockchain coin, except it's linked to a digital file.
Okay.
And so what that means is it's essentially like a receipt on the blockchain that you own a digital file. That's, I think, the easiest way to put it out,
okay.
Right? And so the way it's set up now is you can get an NFT, you can put it in your wallet, and then you can see your NFT in your wallet. And you're like, I own this NFT. I can send it to somebody else. It has value. So in the art world, why they're seeing such big value in NFTs is now these well-known digital artists can create digital art. It can be a one-of-one digital art piece that you have essentially a receipt of that you own it, and you can trade that digital art piece now. And so when we see the artist Beeple sold one for like $69 million at auction from Christie's auction house. And I believe that there was like a physical piece that came with it, but it was like a digital screen, right? Mm-hmm. And it just had the artwork displayed and it was like a moving person or like a moving spaceman that was walking. So that was the digital file on like a life-size screen essentially. Right. And that's the one that went for millions and millions of dollars at auction. But the value was in that digital file. It's the value was in that spaceman walking, that art piece, not in the physical piece.
Gotcha.
And so if the owner of that NFT wanted to sell the Spaceman, they could send it to somebody else digitally instantly.
Gotcha. And even with this, the original person that owns it could actually still make like 10% of that deal. They could still take a cut of the...
And that's another piece of it. Yeah. So within that, that original artist can build in a royalty. So anytime that piece of art is sold in the future, they're making it, and you can change the royalties. I think that one was a 10% royalty. So say somebody goes and whoever bought it goes and sells it for $100 million next year. The artist is going to make $10 million off that sale. Completely free and clear. Doesn't have to keep track of it. It just happens. Right. So that's another big draw for the art and fine art and high dollar art community is now you can build in royalties to your work without any management. It's just automatically
right there. Now, is it all, you mentioned like a person walking, right? Is it all like code art, or is it actually like you could take a photo of an art piece, put it up there, and that's an NFT?
You can literally take pretty much any digital file and create an NFT out of it, right? So you could take a song, you could take a movie, you could take a picture, you could take a digital, anything that you can make a digital file, you can link it to blockchain and you can make an NFT out of it essentially. So, like we were saying, it's early in this. So mm-hmm. where I see this going, like music rights, editing music rights, like for musicians and stuff, streaming services, all that stuff will eventually be linked on blockchain through NFTs, because it just takes away a lot of the administrative logistical piece of finances.
Okay. So this seems less like me buying a photo to put on my website from iStockPhoto, right? So it's not something where I'm going online and that original person that created that photo or took that photo is getting, you know, a couple of cents each time StockPhoto sells it, or they just paid some fee to buy the photo from them. There's that model, but this seems more like the model of, let's say, the recording industry, right? So if I wrote a song, whenever that song gets played, I'm going to get some sort of residual check. Like I'm going to get something. So it's managing the digital rights of the particular either artwork, digital file, whatever it is. Hey, it could be a podcast. It's managing those rights for those items and potentially giving you a kickback each time those get sold in the future as a residual income.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it, right? The rights of it aren't managed by a central company anymore. The rights are decentralized.
Right, right.
Right. And so there's a lot more control over the individual person who owns those rights, because you now don't have to interact with these centralized big corporations who are taking their cut off of everything. Right in the middle. So it helps. I really see it, the future of it being helping with the logistics of contracts and with royalties. And that's where I see this going. I don't think we're there yet. I think that's where we're going to see it in like 5-10 years, right? After we get this initial rush of excitement and people figure out how to do that piece of it and how to get that into the ecosystems, how to get that into the mm-hmm. economy, that's when we're going to see the real adoption take place.
Yeah. And, you know, this is all very interesting to me as a content creator, because, well, okay, I can create the content, but really, can I manage the rights? You know, I don't know. I put the information out there. I put the podcast out there, let's say, and it's out there and people can listen to it, distribute it, do whatever they want with it. It seems with the NFT, at least the creator would have some of those rights retained with them so that they can do as they wish and that they're credited for the work that they're creating.
Yeah. And it's really an interesting thing to watch, because it's stuck in this place now between where the government's trying to figure out how to regulate it, but it's hard to regulate because it's decentralized, right? Who are you going to regulate if it's the cat's out of the bag at this point? So it's difficult for governments to figure out how to regulate the cryptocurrencies, because if now we're at a point where anybody can go and make a token on their computer, right? Mm-hmm. And so anybody can make their own money essentially now. And it's difficult because Congress doesn't really, it's hard to grasp what's going on here, because it's all so new and also technologically advanced. Since we're starting to see people who are starting to understand, take advantage of those situations and build these companies. And once we have regulation, I honestly think that's going to help the crypto market out, because there's going to be more direction on where you can go as a company. There's going to be less unknowns about what can be done and what the future is going to bring on it.
The thing is, though, with regulation, who does that? I mean, it goes beyond the borders of the United States. I mean, who's going to be able to regulate this?
I mean, that is a great question, right? So within the United States, we have the SEC, Securities and Exchange Commission, and they have a very far reach, right? If they don't like a company that's operating in Singapore, they can freeze any U.S. assets of that company in Singapore. They can X them out of the United States completely. That's tougher to do with blockchain, right? And so that's why we're having such a struggle with the regulation piece, is because from my perspective, I don't know how you regulate it. I'm sure they have the same issues. And so there's probably some government anxiety in that they can't control it. And if it takes over, it will lessen the value of real currency, of fiat currency, of currency backed by governments, right? It creates a second economy that goes in tandem with the real economy. And the way I see it is, we're going to have an old economy, which is like on the dollar bill, and we're going to have a new economy, which is all online here. And I see a real big generational divide, and I'm kind of sitting right on it. I'm 33 years old. So I was kind of the first generation of digital natives. Like, MySpace was when I was in middle school. Mm. Facebook was when I was in high school. Yeah. So it's like, I grew up kind of the first generation seeing this and being a digital native. And what I've noticed living in this world is that when I talk to somebody who's a digital native, somebody who grew up online, they're 100% in. They are like, this is so cool. But when I talk to somebody who's even 2 years older than me, 35, they look at me like I'm insane. They have no idea what's happening, what I'm talking about. And like, they can't even begin to grasp it in their heads. But I talk to a 28-year-old and I say, hey, do you want an NFT? And they go, please, yeah, please send me a free NFT. I talk to a 35-year-old. They go, what? No.
Right.
Like, it's a really, really strong line, strong divide that I'm noticing just being out and talking about this stuff and teaching this and learning it and everything.
You know, the thing is, okay, yeah, there's the learning and education aspect of it, but there's also just the trust. You know, if you're going to put your money into something, you need to really trust it. How does the blockchain, we'll say, community begin to build trust with those that don't understand what it is?
That's a great question. So the community creates greater trust, right? So what's cool about our community, Kittencoin, is we're on a Discord server with 13,000, 14,000 members. And those members can get on that server and they can send me a message, right? As one of the leaders of the community, as one of the founders of the token, they can communicate directly with me. And that's kind of a cool thing where you're not seeing in the real world. So that builds a big level of trust when you can go and talk to the person who's making the coin, the tokens, the community. That builds a level of trust just having those interaction pieces. Another thing is we don't want to be anonymous with ours. Like, a lot of these tokens and the creators of them initially started off as anonymous. And really, for Kittencoin, that's not our goal. Our goal is to make this an easy on-ramp for the general public to learn about NFTs, to get NFTs, to kind of figure out what's going on. Because right now there's not an easy on-ramp. Right now there's not a lot of people out there teaching people who are unsure or unfamiliar. I've been able to give out in the past day probably 40 NFTs to people who it was their first NFT they've ever had. And I'm just sending them to them for free because they're like, I've never had an NFT. I go, here you go. Let me get you set up.
Nice.
Right? It gets them into the ecosystem. It gets them kind of thinking about what's happening. And so that level of trust is really built with just the communication and interacting. When you can put a face to the face to the coin, when you can talk to them, when it looks like a real business, when we're out doing media presentations, that really helps build trust in the community.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the other things, I remember when I was in elementary school and a bank came out and they actually set up a bank account for us, like in the school, you know? So what I find really interesting is you're sort of doing something similar with Kittencoin, this educational token aspect to it, where you're teaching this to K through 12 students. I would love to learn a little more about that. Tell us, what is this program?
So this is probably what I'm most excited about. So my background professionally, I was a teacher for a few years and then school administrator. I was in education for 10 years, working in K-12 schools. And Then I started some e-com businesses. I had some pretty big success in e-com over a couple of years. And then I got into this crypto space, this project. And I really was excited to get into this project because it lets me use both of my worlds, both my e-com world and my education world, and kind of bring everything together in a community. So what we're doing with our education programs right now, we have in development what's called a professional development. And this is where you go in and you teach the teachers about subjects, you teach the teachers how to teach. Mm-hmm. And we're working with a guy out of Atlanta. His name is DJ. His handle is Invert the World on Instagram. And he is a visual artist, graphic artist, teacher, educator, curriculum writer. This guy's awesome. So if you guys get a chance, okay. It's Invert the World. He's amazing. His artwork's amazing. Nice. And he is developing. Let me back up a little bit. Just an anecdotal story about when he got into it. So he was telling us a story the other day. He had a student come up to him last year or the year before, and he says, "Hey, teach, I made $40,000 selling NFTs over the summer." And he goes, "Whoa, kid, come over here. Tell me about that." And that's when DJ decided to start learning about everything a couple of years ago. And so DJ went hard into it. He produced some artwork that went crazy and sold some NFTs. And then so all that goes to what I want to get to here is that what we're going to do with the KTNC Learn program is we are going to go in and we're going to teach teachers how to create NFTs, those digital artwork files, and how to add in royalties and how to deliver that to students. And so that whole process is what we like to call a career technical education pathway, mm-hmm. which is a big thing in education right now, right? Teaching kids how to have actionable skills in the economy. So think like your auto shop classes, your home economics classes, your now they have coding, not very many. But what this does, what this NFT program does, is it allows for a new career technical education pathway. It now kids can go in and they can have a digital art CTE pathway where they can learn how to do a digital art, how to monetize that digital art, and then how to sell it and get reoccurring royalties forever on their art. And so it's teaching these kids these new skills for the new Web3 economy that are going to be actionable, that they're going to be able to use, that they're going to have a leg up when they go on in the future. Like when they graduate high school and they go and they say, "I can mint NFTs, I can do digital art," they now have a lot more value as an employee to like some of these big retail companies who are going to be jumping into that stuff, who are going to be like coupons will be NFTs, everything. So mm-hmm. the demand for that, the demand for creating NFTs will grow exponentially as more companies bring on those processes. And now we can prepare these kids to be right out of high school, ready to go in and do those jobs.
So you're saying K through 12, are you actually like teaching young kids, kindergartners, like about this?
So for the first program, our MVP, we're still a young company, right? Yeah. So we're rolling out our first program targeted at secondary teachers, okay. Which would be like your middle to high school, because that's where we see this fitting well with. We do have blockchain programs in development and curriculum in development for younger grades. A lot of that centers around what's called a positive behavior incentive system. And I don't want to go too in the weeds on that, but basically you think like gold stars, like when you do something right, you get a gold star. So it's more a behavior training system.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our next product. So our first product we're going to roll out is the professional development, where we're really teaching the teachers how to deliver this to students, how to tell them about NFTs, how to teach them the value that they have. And then we're moving on to expanding those professional development programs and developing our positive behavior incentive systems.
That's awesome.
And I like to think about as the gold star.
Right. Yeah, no, that's really cool. And thinking about it, I mean, this solves a couple of problems, right? Like, okay, well, first of all, it's educating them about future technology, which is awesome. But it's also, it's bringing art into the school too. Like that's a whole other
thing.
And
that's a huge thing, right? So when I did my master's degree, I did my master's degree on my research on the teacher's perception of art's integrated lessons, right? Mm-hmm. And so after I did that, I did some focus groups. I got feedback from hundreds of teachers And I really wanted to see like, what's the barrier to art in schools, because we don't see a lot of it. And what I found was it's not the teachers. The teachers aren't the barrier to art, because the teachers are all on board. My results of my focus groups were overwhelmingly positive about the arts integrated lessons. And so there was some other barrier, right? And so kind of how I looked at it was, maybe it's not, they don't see it as an actionable skill, right? They don't see this as a way for people to make money. Sure, you go teach drawing, but they're thinking about it in the wrong way, right? Art is much bigger than just teaching a kid how to draw a portrait, right, or to draw a face, right? There's a whole economy behind art. Every image you look at, every word you see that's produced by somebody with like typeface and word, right, art, everything you see in public is art. Like, it's all art. And there's a huge economy there that the kids we can prepare them for better.
Oh, no. I think that's fantastic. As a parent, I love that you're bringing art into the school. And I also love that you're teaching kids something that I don't feel qualified enough to teach them about. So I love that that would be entering the school system. That would be amazing. It's training kids on something that they're going to be potentially using every day at some point. Is this how KittenCoin is going to make money through this system, or is it about investors? I guess the bigger question here is, how does KittenCoin actually grow in value?
So that's a great question. So there's a couple ways. So as a business right now, we're pre-revenue on our education programs, right? So we are funding our education development through a few ways. We have an e-commerce store, coingear.org. And people can buy physical products, they can buy NFTs, they can get rewards from that. So, right, so say you buy an NFT, those NFTs are linked to rewards. So if you hold this NFT in your wallet, we're dropping you tokens from our tokens at random times. And so people are buying the NFTs, they're holding the NFTs, and as long as they're holding the NFTs, they're getting these random token drops from us to the wallets that are holding the NFTs. So it's kind of building that rewards system. And that's what we're kind of doing. We're gathering data on how the rewards work out, mm-hmm. the demand on rewards and people like them and how much. And so we can kind of port that data over to the school system, the positive behavior system,
right,
when we have that set up.
Right. That's cool.
Right. And so we're rolling out those rewards programs through our e-com store, which is generating some revenue. That's giving us some revenue to be able to develop these education programs. And then we are also going after alternate forms of funding. We're meeting with VCs, and we're exploring that end too, because there's a lot of excitement for Web3 and these type of companies with the venture capitals.
Nice. You know, the other thing that we've got to talk about is, you know, Facebook had their big name change to Meta, and we're talking about the metaverse and, you know, throwing on AR glasses, and all of a sudden we're all walking around in these virtual spaces and real estate being sold in these virtual spaces. How will the metaverse impact these new technologies?
That's where we're going to see this really take off, is once that digital physical divide is bridged. And you're seeing digital items in your everyday life when you're looking around, then you're going to see the value in NFTs.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting is when you think of the AR thing, like, you know, I play this little golf game, right? And, you know, as you're looking around, you see advertisements throughout the thing. This is different, because this, instead of seeing advertisements around, it's what I'm wearing or what golf club I'm using or what golf ball I'm using or whatever it is. Those are the NFTs that are actually I'm paying for to have this interaction in the meta world or metaverse.
Exactly. And if you think about like video games, the kids buy skins for their characters,
totally,
all the time. Like, they're spending tons of money on skins for
Tell
their characters.
Tell me about it.
So it's that. It's just when everybody's wearing AR glasses, you're going to see the skins on the real people.
Right. Oh, man. It's going to get crazy, isn't it? All right. Sorry. You know, I could talk to you all day. I love learning about this stuff. It's so interesting to me. I would also love to learn more about KittenCoin, and I'm sure those listening would like to as well. If we wanted to purchase KittenCoin or learn more about KittenCoin and those learning programs, how do we do that?
So the best way right now to get KittenCoin is to buy one of our rewards NFTs off of coingear.org.
Okay.
You buy an NFT, you get a wallet, and we can help you get that set up if you want to reach out to our email or to our website. You buy an NFT, you get a wallet set up, we drop random amounts of KittenCoin for all holders of that NFT. That's
awesome.
The easiest way right now to get KittenCoin. You can also There's the ability to purchase it on markets. There's some exchanges that are coming online. There's the Tinyman exchange, so app.tinyman.org. And there's lots of ASA tokens on there, different types of ASA blockchain currencies, different projects that you can be a part of. So there's not just us, there's lots of different projects happening. Kind of the best way, Reddit is really good for learning about projects on the Algorand blockchain.
Yeah, and you guys are,
that's where a lot of them
announced. You guys are very active too on Reddit, I've noticed. So that's cool.
We always have new stuff going on. So I suggest following us on Twitter, following us on Reddit, any social place where you're at. We got updates, we're pushing, we're communicating with our communities all the time. Discord. If you're on Discord, it's like a chat server app. It's like a big party there all the time. Nice. We're there all day, every day. Interacting with the community interacting. It's a lot of fun. It's a very interesting project.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially the way that you guys are approaching it with the educational aspect. It's awesome. And I will follow you on Reddit and Twitter, and I'll put those links in the description. Dan, thank you so much for joining us and helping us learn more about Web3, blockchain, and Bitcoin.
Thanks for having me, Russ.
And thank you for listening and subscribing to Learning More. We encourage you and thank you for rating this podcast and sharing it with your friends. As with any podcast that gives medical, legal, or in this case, financial opinion, the information is not meant to substitute professional advice, and we encourage you to consult a professional to discuss your exact needs. I invite you to check out our daily podcast that I host. We played a commercial for that earlier in the podcast. It's called This Is Today, where you can learn about the history of each day, some fun stories. I have a great time doing that podcast, and I would love for you to go check that out. It is called This Is Today. It's available wherever you get your podcasts, and there's also a link in the description. On the next Learning More, okay, this is a drastic change in the next week here. We're going from Bitcoin to near-death experience. Yeah, I get to talk with somebody that had a near-death experience. He was dead for 5 minutes, and we're going to talk to him next week. It's an amazing story, and he is a great person to talk to, so join us next week for that. If you have something that you would like to learn more about, let us know, and it just might become a future episode. Submit your ideas and comments at learningmorepodcast.com. Again, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I'm Russ, and I look forward to learning more with you next time.